Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we continue in a second installment, if you will, of a series of teaching messages during this month of October under the title Grace-Filled Stewards. And as we began last Sunday morning, I mentioned that the word stewardship sort of conjures up sometimes or inspires an immediate response. It's not really a pleasant word because usually people quickly go to the idea that, well, the pastor's talking about stewardship now, which means he wants us to give more money to the church. As a matter of fact, I'm not talking about money today. I didn't last Sunday, and it'll still take a little bit longer to even mention it. Because stewardship really speaks about our whole life. Last Sunday morning, we also mentioned that this is what God has given to humankind. This is our calling, if you will, to care for that which we receive from him in the order of creation. So to be grace-filled stewards simply means to be his humble and grateful children and to live life accordingly. We are working in these 4 weeks with this beautiful, magnificent portion of scripture, the words of Jesus himself from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 5. And it is printed in your bulletin, but it's also on your screen now. And I will invite you to read that aloud with me once more. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Last week, we also began talking about this beautiful image, this very healthy vine with branches and abundant fruit, and yet mentioned that there is an important part of this vine which is not visible to the eye, that being everything below the ground, which of course are the very deep roots of this plant, which are absolutely necessary for the vine itself to survive and thrive. And we concluded also that we also need deep roots in our life. There's a piece of us that is foundational part that's not so visible, and yet those roots, spiritual roots, if you will, for us that actually are we called to bear those spiritual roots on real life experiences still, we are rooted in Christ himself according to our formation in the faith. And beginning with those roots, then we proceed to the vine. So today I want to invite you to appreciate the strong vine, the beauty of the vine itself, but the importance of the strength of the vine and how important it is in life for our own survival to be strong. So I would ask you to consider this question. How strong do you have to be personally to fulfill all of the responsibilities of your calling in life? Not too long ago, actually, I was given a position description. If you work, you know that a position description describes essentially what you're supposed to do. It also, if it's complete, it will describe what is expected of you. How strong do you have to be to do this job? And there's actually a place in the position description that talks about how much weight you can lift. And in this particular one, it said that on average, more or less, you might be expected to lift 10 pounds or so on a fairly frequent basis. Occasionally, a little bit more than that. The truth of the matter is, the position description describes something that I had been doing for a while and probably would continue to do if I accepted that position. And as it turns out, the job requires frequent travel. And if any of you have traveled lately, you know that suitcases and duffel bags weigh a little bit more than 10 pounds. Many of you, when you travel, push the limits so much that when you get to the check-in part and it says 51, you're kind of unzipping, you know, putting the hair dryer over here and moving things around a little bit to stay legal. The reality is, sometimes position descriptions underestimate a bit or a lot what's really expected of the person who's on the job. And I can't really think of the person, employee, who in a spontaneous moment, you know, would say, no, I'm not lifting that because it's not in my job description. I thought about, what would a job description look like for you if you're a father, for example? You know, how much can you and should you lift legally? How many loads should you carry in the course of your lifetime? And I'll tell you that, we would underestimate probably that, but that pales over against what it means to be a mother, to begin that journey, you know, carrying anywhere from 30 to 40 or 50 pounds for a few months, 24/7, before God delivers that wonderful gift to you, in which you then proceed to carry loads for the rest of your life until they're about in their mid-20s or something like that. It's in your position description, by the way. It just says all of this, and then anything else that might come along that's relevant to your calling in life. And although it sounds humorous when we say it, the truth of the matter is not really funny of sorts, because it is very demanding and requires incredible physical strength of us in many ways to answer our life calling. But we've only talked about the, you know, what can you lift, what can you carry part with your arms or your legs. We haven't even opened the question now. How strong spiritually do you have to be to survive and thrive in this world? And how early in life do you have to become spiritually strong to make it? How much spiritual fortitude, strength, if we will think of it in those terms, do you need to sort of survive being born into a family that's struggling? Born into a household where the parents are struggling. And I mean really struggling. Struggling with life, struggling with one another. What if the home, as a result of that, just breaks? And you as a child are facing life in this world, how strong do you have to be? What about in adolescence and all the challenges that come with just being in high school? I know a lot of people who think back on their high school years and say, well, it would have been great if we could just skip from middle school to college. The idea that it's all fun and games and all really isn't true at all. It's very hard work to be a high school student, and it's a very challenging endeavor in this world that we live in today. College and university, or work after that. Marriage, family. How strong do you have to be when things don't work out the way you planned them, the way you expected them to happen? When you don't feel well and you go to the doctor and discover that, well, his answer or her answer, the doctor's answer to what's wrong with you, isn't sort of like a simple thing. It's complicated, complex. Maybe, maybe not. We can do something about it. And whether that's happening to you personally or to someone that you dearly love, how strong do you have to be? And what if even physically everything's okay, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you or someone you love goes down? Not quite, but they live pretty down. My friends, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know that all of this is true. And it's only the beginning of a description of what is incredibly challenging and how much of a demand there is upon us to live life in the current moment, in this world. And the question is, what do we find in and of ourselves? Of course, the world would ask you or encourage you to look inside of yourself. You know, would you please just look inside of yourself and get stronger? Because it's all about yourself. We have, within a short radius of this building, at least a couple that I can think of, large buildings that are fitness centers. They have lots of equipment in there and big parking lots, and they're frequented. People go there to get stronger physically. We have all sorts of offerings, and you can find them if you look for them, and you don't have to look that up. All sorts of offerings for retreat centers that you can go to, like in New Mexico, and sort of have a spiritual experience, commune with nature. Actually, you can commune with nature in your backyard cheaper, but you can still do that if you want to. And all of these, looking for strength, to become stronger about life, when in fact, as fit as you can be physically, won't answer all of the spiritual questions, and the spiritual journey that has no real substance at the end of it never will be the answer either. Sometimes pastors, when they're proclaiming the word and preaching the word, you know, we reach back in history to look for moments to describe when life was really difficult because everything is just so rosy right now. You know that today on October 8th, we don't have to do that. We can't even go beyond the end of this. We can't even go back a week. And it's not just that we can't go back a week without thinking about Las Vegas and everything that happened there. We can't go back a week without contemplating what's happening in countless other places around the world. What's happening in our own city, what has happened in Dallas, if you watch the news. Small scale, large scale, we are alive in a very, very weakened, broken, wounded world. And so, how are we going to be strong? Where will it come from? Because the scriptures tell a different story about humankind. When St. Paul reflects on humanity, he reflects on his own personal experience. He talks about life in the world. And there's no better place to catch a glimpse of authentic biblical anthropology. If you want a real description of what does it mean to be human, read the book of Romans. And spend some time in Romans chapter 7, where St. Paul says famous words that you already know. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good, but I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. Paul took a deep, profound spiritual look inside of himself. He went as deep as anyone could possibly go, and probably, to be honest with you, a whole lot deeper and spent more time at it, years in the wilderness in prayer and meditation and all, a whole lot more time than we ever will. And he found nothing in himself. Well, he found sin in himself. He didn't find strength in himself. So he found his condition. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And how do we respond then? Where will we be strong? We will be strong by the power and having heard the voice and the words of the one who said, I am the vine. You're not the vine. You are not the vine. I am not the vine. He is the vine. He says, I am the vine. The wonderful thing about preaching biblical stewardship is I basically don't have to talk about you or me very much. I have to talk about Jesus a lot. Because it is really, after all, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about how strong he is in his body, manifest for a significant period of time. He is incredibly strong, does amazing and wonderful things. And those are the miracles. But the scriptures speak about the strength of Jesus when he was just a little boy. In Luke's gospel, the second chapter, from which we have the wonderful story about the little boys with the bathrobes on and the little girls with a tinsel around their head. You know that story? We get that story from Luke chapter 2, but toward the end of the chapter, it says that Jesus, after being presented in the temple, he returns to his hometown, which is Nazareth, which is like going out to some small town in West Texas or something, you know. He goes out there, a small village, and he grows in the Lord and becomes strong. Strong. In here. We don't really know too much about Jesus after he's about 12 years old in the temple, where he separates himself from his parents, and not to go hang out with his friends, but to go back to the temple. His parents are looking for him. And I will say this to you young people, wherever young falls in here, like from middle school through high school and all, I will say this to you. Sometimes, even though you know where you are on the planet, your parents don't. And if you know where you are and you feel safe and secure, but your parents don't, then I guarantee you they're anxious. If they're decent parents, which most parents are. Regardless of what the performance is, most parents, if not all parents, have a place in their heart for their children and they care. Mary and Joseph missed Jesus. He was supposed to be in their company. They went back looking for him and they said, didn't you know? And Jesus' response, respectfully, it is respectful, but nevertheless, he says to his parents, did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house about my Father's business? We don't know much about Jesus from that moment in time until the next time we see him. He's kind of coming out in his public baptism, and right after that, he is taken out into the wilderness, and we don't know what fasting is. Like Jesus knew what fasting was. We don't know what weakness is. Like Jesus encountered physical weakness in the wilderness, and yet in his moment of greatest physical vulnerability, he sent Satan away not once but three times, and he did that by the strong word of the Father given in the Old Testament. If you want a good argument for memorizing Bible verses, follow the example of Jesus. Consider that he could have said anything in the moment, and yet three times does he quote the Hebrew scriptures in sending Satan away from the most terrible temptations that a man could face in that circumstance. He is the strong vine. His words are strong. His words come from the Father. His words belong to the Father who brought everything into existence from nothing. The only reason why we live in a material world, and the amazing thing, if you're a scientist or an astronomer and you like to do this, you know that no one has ever discovered by peering into outer space, they've never found anything that looks like planet Earth surrounded by its atmosphere alive. A special created place. We don't find life. We're still looking for it someplace else. I don't know why we spend so much time looking for it someplace else when it is so precious here. It is so valuable here. And we're so blessed to be alive. We are. Trust me on this one. I know. We're blessed to be alive today. But not because we are strong in and of ourselves, but because we belong to the strong vine, because he is our Lord and we are his children. And it is the strength of his word that sustains us. It is his words that we remember. And by remembering them, we are rescued, we are redeemed, and we are restored. And it is in that sense that we understand how it was that Jesus, when he looked upon the crowds during his public ministry and he looked out and he saw these people, he said, they're helpless, they're weak. And for one particular reason, because they are sheep without a shepherd. My friends, we are sheep with a shepherd, and we know who he is. We hear his voice, and it is that voice that strengthens us this day to face every other challenge, physical or spiritual, emotional, mental, whatever. People can come after us, and they will. Satan is powerful, and he is strong, and we should not diminish or underestimate what evil is capable of doing in the present moment. It is so critical that we continue to proclaim Christ and the gospel as the word of life. And yet, in the aftermath of tragic events, what do we see? Where do we see strength emerge? We see it emerge in the hands and the feet of the helpers, in the voices that will speak words of comfort and encouragement, and people that will be day after day after day, bedside, in the home, encouraging with strong words that God still loves you, and he still loves this world. And he proved that by sending his son and what Jesus did for us. There was a very difficult moment in the history of the Christian church a long time ago. It was the first century. Christians were not beloved in the world. The world was hostile to them. And yet people heard the gospel. Men heard the gospel. They nurtured their sons in the gospel, and men and sons nurtured their families in the gospel. And I'd like to show you this Bible verse from the New Testament that is really rather a report, if you would put it up. This is a report by the aged apostle John, looking at and now speaking to disciples of the first century, men and young men, as leaders of their own household, spiritual leaders. And he wrote to them, and he said, "I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." My dear friends, I pray that those words, that encouragement, particularly the words of Christ himself, will be your encouragement and your strength as you live the balance of this day and the days to come, in Jesus' name. Amen.